This episode is sponsored by JSOX. JSOX is the leader in Steam Deck accessories. They have everything from cases to screen protectors and so much more. Interested in changing the color of your Steam Deck? JSOX colored transparent backplates not only give your deck a dash of color, but it also has heat dissipation aluminum sheet that enhances the heat dissipation and helps your deck run cooler. Also, be sure to check out their new mod case that allows you to use many different accessories like a fan, battery pack, and more. If you own a Steam Deck, head on over to jsox.com. That's jsamux.com for their full line of products. Once again, we would like to thank JSOX for their support of the show. Back to the Gamer Science Podcast. My name is John Mills. With me, as always, is Eric and Nathaniel. What is going on, fellas?
Nothing. It's been hot. As I heard, it's been hot over there. Toasty,
yes.
Toasty.
Yes, it's been summer. Very hot.
Summer.
Yeah, it's been up until just a couple weeks ago. It was actually a mild summer, but now all of a sudden it's a hot summer. So
it's been a hot summer all the time.
Oh no, it's been hot down in North Carolina. It has not been hot here.
I mean, it hasn't been as hot, but it's still muggy, so it doesn't matter.
There was a while that most of June it wasn't too bad here. It wasn't muggy, it wasn't real hot, and then 4th of July rolled around and then all of a sudden you could just cut it with a knife, you know. But fairs in a week around here, so it'll be nothing but 100 degrees and pouring the rain all week, because that's what happens in fair time.
Usually what happens, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair's always the week before school starts, so because you know got to get them farm kids to get their projects in before school starts. So yeah, so fair time's always a fun time around here. Well, I mean, if you like the fair, which I don't.
Okay, go look at stuff. I haven't been in a couple years though.
I used to go all the time, you know, in high school and stuff, and once I didn't have to go anymore, it was I could choose not to go if I didn't want to. It was kind of like, I don't want to go anymore. It's not that fun.
Is it a county fair or is it like a state fair?
County fair. Yeah, no, the state fair is way over in the other part of the state. So state fair is a good ways away. And I mean, I guess if you like country music and concerts and stuff, you would like the state fair. You know, they do a lot of that.
All right. I think I've been to the Washington State Fair once as a kid, but I live on the other side of the state, and the Washington State Fair is on the wetter Seattle side. And even once as a kid, it's fine. It's just big. It's just like a big county fair, pretty much, with more things to do and more food. Yeah. Lots more food.
See, our county fair, we've got the largest county fair in the state. So
cool.
It's about the size of the state fair, usually. Wow. It's pretty big, so... Yeah, I mean, state fair's fine and all, but, you know, once you've been to the county fair, it's like, if you like big name concerts, you know, big name, you know, music stuff, then state fair, sure. But other than that, meh. So, but I haven't been to the fair in 20, 25 years, probably, maybe longer than that.
Oh.
You used to have to go every day, and it was just like, like I said, once you got to the point where you were old enough that you didn't have to go if you didn't want to, it was kind of like, you know what? I'm not going. But I know there's some folks around here, they take a vacation week, they take a camper up there, and they stay the whole week, and I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
I mean, we even had the fair very close here, for this the one in the Raleigh area,
yeah.
But I have yet to ever go to that one. I've been to a fair a few times enough that I'm like, yep, I've had enough fairs in my life. I don't need to go again.
I went to we accidentally went to the Forsyth County Fair up in Winston one year. And I say accidentally because they put it in, they have it in the same place where the football stadium's at for Wake Forest University. And there was a football game that day against Navy, and we had tickets. So the fair was going on right across the street from the football game. We accidentally went to the fair while we were there because you just kind of, oh, you want something to eat? Well, we'll just pay to get in the fair and go over there and have some fair food, you know, after the game or before the game or whatever. Yeah. Seems like a terrible time to have a fair during football season when football games are going on, when you have it in the same place. But, you know, I mean, Winston's not that big. I say that, and they do that in Texas, like, and they have, like, the Texas State Fair. Yeah, they have the Texas State Fair, and they have, what, the A&M and Oklahoma, or the Texas and Oklahoma game at the fairgrounds the same weekend or something like that.
So.
It's something insane. It's like, why would you want to have a football game at a fair, the same place you have the fair and the football game, 70,000 people show up for it, and then you have a fair on top of it.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, they do bigger things in Texas, I guess. So that's what they say anyway. I don't know. Never been. But anyway, we're not here to talk about county or state fairs. We're here to talk about video games. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of video games to talk about. Like I said, I really haven't played anything. And I know, Nathaniel, you got here. You played The Expanse Episode 1. I played maybe 15 minutes of it. I did buy it. Because it's a Telltale game. I know nothing about The Expanse other than it's a sci-fi thing. That's all I know. That's all I know about The Expanse.
I know so, much more than you then.
Well, and I don't know if you play the game and you don't know anything about The Expanse, if
that's fine.
Yeah, I didn't figure.
It's a prequel. It's before the show by I forget how many years. So yeah, you don't.
Oh, okay. Well, that's perfect then. Yeah. Like I said,
the main character that you play as is a character in the show. That shows up a little bit later on in the show.
Now, is it voiced by the person that's in the show?
Yep, or? Same person.
Oh, okay,
yep.
That's cool.
Yep.
I played it like I said.
Oh yeah, that's that character.
I watched the opening thing. I went and talked to the people about the thing we were starting to do, and that's when I had to walk away. So it's like I barely played it. It looks pretty though for a Telltale game. The engine that they're using now is great. It must be. It was it Unreal 5?
Oh, it's not the old one. Oh, so yeah, I think it's Unreal something. I think, but I'd have to look into it. I can't remember.
I immediately looked at it and went, well, that's not the old engine. That is brand new. So
it looks nice, and I didn't run any new bugs in it. So far, good job.
Yeah.
More than some old Telltale games for sure.
Really. It's funny. It's my buddy at the yard sale today was talking about The Expanse show. So it's interesting. You guys are talking about the game. Must be a sign. I think I'm going to have to buy it.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
It's going to be over the next, you know, month and a half or so because they're waiting a couple weeks in between each episode. So at least it's not as long as old Telltale where it's maybe a couple months if you're lucky.
How long is the first episode? How long did it take?
It depends on how thorough you are. If you're like me, geeking out over all the details, it took me a couple hours, but you could get through quicker than that.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a setup episode for the most part.
I figured. Yeah.
But even then, they still kind of throw you into it. Then you like learn some bits and bobs as you go through. If you aren't familiar with The Expanse, if you are, then you're like, ooh, I know that thing, and I know that thing too. That's cool.
Yeah. And I, like I say, I know nothing about The Expanse, but it's a new Telltale game, and I always like all the Telltale games, even if it's something that I don't know anything about. It's like I still buy it and play it because I like those narrative
and the most recent Borderlands one was on sale for like $10 for like a month, and I was like, all right, I'll buy it on Amazon.
I wanted to buy it on PC, but it never got that cheap on PC. It was that cheap on everything else, but it wasn't on PC for some reason. So
I mean, I'm sure it will be at some point.
It was half price the other day. It was like $20-$25 or something like that, and I almost bought it. But
I made that my goal. I mean, I own most of those digitally, and I was thinking the other day, I'm like, what do I? Is Walking Dead the only one I own physically? Maybe one of the Batmans. I'm like, I need to buy the others. Like, I should get Wolf Among Us. I mean, even though Game of Thrones, I should still buy it.
I have
just to have it.
I have Wolf Among Us on Vita physically.
Oof.
And I have Batman physically on Xbox, but they didn't make season two of Batman physically, I don't think.
They didn't? Or was it just an empty box of code?
I don't even think it was an empty box of code. I don't think they did anything with it, if I remember right. I don't think.
Let it run. Where are you?
Yeah, I don't think there was a physical version of that. If there was, I never got it. And that's kind of odd because, you know, usually with the Batman games, I always collect. You know, collect those when I buy them, but I also buy them digitally. But no, I bought the Expanse so I could play it on the Ally, but of course, I don't have the Ally, so it was like, well, I'll play a little bit of it on the PC. And
yeah, I'll have to replay it on there because I played it on my desktop.
Yeah, but so what'd you think of it? Did you like it?
It's awesome for one episode where you're like, oh man, now I want the next one. So it definitely gets you hooked. At least it did me.
Did you buy the collectors or the higher price one, the one that was $5 more because it has the bonus episode?
I didn't until I pre-ordered it a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks. I forget because I'm like, I know I'm going to be playing it. Maybe it was about a month ago.
Yeah.
I got to play it a day early for pre-ordering it. And then I looked, I was like, oh, hey, there was something with an extra bonus episode. And I don't know if that's out yet or not. But I looked at the Epic Store. I was like, there's no, like, upgrade option like you can on Steam sometimes. Yeah. Or if there is, I didn't find it. So I just have the regular version.
Gotcha. I bought the one that said it was, like, $5 more. It's just like, it comes with an extra episode. I'll just buy that version of it, so.
If I'd seen that when I was buying it, I probably would have. I just didn't see it.
Yeah. It was a weird thing because you had to, like, click on it in a different... I don't know. The Epic Game Store drives me crazy, but I'm just so used to Steam.
Oh, yes. So. And how I can't activate it. Like, I can't use it on my phone. It's a super freaking annoying. I want to look at my game library, right? Well, got to only look at it on my PC or my Chromebook. And I'm just like... Arr!
Yeah. It's...
The other ones let me look. I just want to see if I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would. But yeah, I'm excited to go back and play it. So
cool.
So yeah, like if you're not aware of what The Expanse is, it was a series of books that then got adapted into a show that went for 3 seasons on Sci-Fi Channel, then got canceled, and then almost immediately, like within a month or two, if it wasn't even that long, Amazon picked it up and ran it for 3 more seasons.
Oh, did they run it for 3 seasons? Wow, I didn't realize they ran it
for 3 seasons. Yeah, 6 total seasons. The 6th season is shorter. It's kind of almost like what they did with the later seasons of Game of Thrones. It's like fewer episodes, but they are a little bit longer, so they can, and that way they can also spend more budget for special effects and stuff on it. So I think the 6th season is like 6 episodes or something.
I did not realize it ran that long. I thought it was only like 4 seasons or something.
It's
like
the best sci-fi. It's in the top, you know, 10, top 5 ever, even in my opinion. And it's definitely the best sci-fi in the past decade.
Yeah.
It's the best sci-fi since kind of like Battlestar Galactica was on, when it was kind of like the premier sci-fi show. Everybody's like, oh, this is the most awesome sci-fi. Yeah. Like,
I like
The Expanse
that a lot.
Is similar kind of boat. It's just, it's a really cool universe with lots of cool characters in it. The story's really good. And then the show starts well and just keeps getting better as it goes, pretty much. So, what's not to like? But anyway, like the as I said before, the game is set before that. So, it's a character that you see, I think she shows up in season 2 is the first time she shows up in the show.
Okay.
And so, you're playing it like, you know, decade or whatever before the events of the show kick off. And you're playing as Drummer. What's her last name? So she's a XO on a scavenger ship.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just running through and you meet all the crew kind of at the beginning of the game. And then you're going into kind of like a scavenge job. A couple things happen while that goes on. A couple things go wrong. And then the episode ends and you're like, oh, but I want more. That's pretty much all you get in this episode. Unless you're like me and it's like, ooh, I'm going to spend every moment looking at every nook and cranny and clicking on every single thing that you can click on. And then just also looking at all the details that you can't click on. Because they did a really good job of adapting the design of the show, but like video gaming it up a little bit. So just the kind of lived in grungy feel of the ships is still kind of there in the game, which is cool.
Yes. Mm.
So it's like, ooh, I get to wander around this kind of ships. It's not like the ship is something that was on the show or anything like that, but
right.
It's still just you're in this universe walking around. Later on, when you get off the ship, you actually get zero G sections. So whenever there's no gravity, you have some controls for like you can either have your mag boots on and you're walking on all the metal surfaces, or you can release and float in the air, and then you can kind of like you can rotate either way or go up and down. There's a couple different controls to do it, so it actually works pretty well. So you're floating around different pieces of this wreck that you're scavenging and finding all sorts of different things. And you can spend as much or as little time as you want on it. If you just want to go play through the story, there's a nice little objective marker that you can just
That's
like
cool.
ping a button and it'll be like, go over there.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to use it, then don't hit the button.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I don't know. I've purposefully not looked into it. I don't know how big of a budget or not they have for this thing. So I don't know if in future episodes we're going to go off to other things because there's, space stations and other places in the expanse that it would be cool to go to see. Just because, seeing them in the show is cool, but going wandering around them would be fun. But I don't know if that's in the scope for this game or not. I have no idea. But I know it's like every couple of weeks for episodes. I think the next one's August 10 or something like
Yep,
that.
it's August 10th and then the 24th and then
And
September
so it goes through
7th and
like
21st.
mid-September. Yeah, it's five total episodes, I
Yep.
think. So,
Yeah, I was looking at the Wikipedia page here to see the release dates of it, so.
yeah, I really, really like it. It's awesome. The Expanse is a cool universe. Even if this is your introduction to it, I think they do a pretty good job of getting the flavor of it. And there might be some stuff that you'll won't understand, like the Belter language. You'll just be like, wait, what is this?
Yeah.
Because they have their own, it's kind of like this weird mix of things, and they throw it together, and then there's like a bunch of English, and then there's some, other words thrown in that are all these different slang terms and stuff as well. And then it's got a little bit of a different rhythm to it, and they have like a much thicker accent than any of the other characters that are from like Earth or Mars or something, which they have their own sort of accents as well, but not to the same degree as the Belters. So because the main character, she did it on the show, she can just do it easy. She nails it. But then the couple other characters that are in the game that are also Belters, the actors did a pretty good job of doing it as well. It's not something that you just jump into and easily do. There is a poster that you can find in the game that has a few Belter language terms on it. It's funny.
Yeah, I
I
saw
found that
that.
back
That
in
was,
the mess hall or something.
yeah, it was way early. I did actually see that. I was like, "What? What are they talking about? I don't know what that
Yeah,
is."
so like when they're talking in the dialogue, they'll just roll it off and they're just like going through, and it's just like you got to keep up. And then you kind of, by context, can sort of like get the idea or the gist of them, not necessarily the meaning, but the feeling of the word, like, oh, that's a curse or, whatever.
Right.
But if, like me, you've seen six seasons of the show and read not all the books because I got to get back to them. But so you have some of those in your head, you're just like, oh, yeah, I heard that like 8 billion times on the show. I know what that means.
How many books
I
are there?
still can't say it. Like the books, there's like eight or nine or
Nine?
ten
Looks
or
like
something like that.
nine.
They didn't make it all the way through the books for the show. They only went partway through.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like nine. I was just looking at here. Or
Yeah.
series eight. Eight? Let me click on here and see.
But yeah, like the books are really good too. At
Eight.
least the ones I've read. I've read three or four. I can't remember where I left off because I read a bunch of them a while back, and then I was like, I'm gonna wait for the show to end. And then the show ended, and I still haven't gotten back to actually reading the books because I have other things I want to read, and video games I want to play, and shows I want to watch, and only so much time to do all of that. So.
So is the books better than the show, or the show better than the books, or are they both about the same? Would you say?
I mean, I'd say they're both the same.
Okay.
The people who wrote the books, it's kind of like one author name is on the book, but it's actually two people.
Oh.
And they were involved with the show, or one of them was. I can't remember now. I'd have to look it up
Yeah.
specifically. So yeah, like the show is, there's some stuff that's different. There's some stuff like the character that you play in this game was a character made up for the show, but is kind of like a combination of a bunch of side characters from the books. And then because everybody really liked her in when her first season, that she was only there a little bit, they kept expanding kind of like her role later on and kept doing it. So she's much bigger in the show than in the books. Because I think there is a character named Drummer in the books, but I can't remember for sure. I have to reread them and then get to the stuff that I haven't, so I couldn't tell you that. But
Yeah. See, I found when I was listening to the Harry Potter books, and then when I'd finish a book, I would go watch the movie. I found the books a lot better than the movies. That's why I was. That's why now I kind of ask. It's like, well, if they have the books, yeah, would it be better for me to watch the TV show or read the books? Which is more, you know, and like the Harry Potter series, I found the books. So.
Because it's a show, it's not like Harry Potter where you're going to a movie and you only have a couple hours to cram everything in, and then you can't do that even for the shortest Harry Potter books, and some of them are longer than other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or any just movie adaptation, there's only so much you can cram into a few hours, right? Whereas a show, you have a whole season, and you still have to edit some stuff out or whatnot, but you can fit a lot more in there.
I need to see if the audiobooks are any good.
I don't know. Well, I haven't heard I haven't heard about them. I've just have the hard copies that I read.
Yeah, that would. I'm always running out
both
of stuff
the
with
books,
audiobooks.
Yeah, so. Both the books and the show are well loved, and so I don't know. I would start with the show, honestly, if you haven't done either.
I started watching the show.
I'm sure other people would tell you different.
I don't remember. I don't remember why I didn't, I don't know how far into the first episode I got, and it may have been one of them things.
So you need to watch, if you start the show, watch at least up to episode 4 and even like a little bit before that. Cause the first couple episodes, especially, are very much world building and establishing like the characters and the universe. And there's some stuff, it's still stuff that happens, but it's a lot of setup and other things. Right. And like, I was hooked instantly, but I know some other people weren't, but once you get to the part where, like, there's like a big thing that happens at the end of the first episode too, not by any means, but like once you hit like episode, it's 3 or 4, I forget, it really kicks off and you're like, oh, okay, I'm completely hooked.
Well,
they got to get some of those establishing stuff out of the way so that you know who is who kind of stuff, and it takes a little bit to do that.
Yeah, it looks like I started watching it. I'm about episode 1. I'm about a quarter of the way through it.
Watch hardly any.
No, apparently I didn't hardly watch any. It's like, it's like I'm just looking. Yeah, I've got 30 minutes left in the first episode. That's all.
Yeah. For you, I think if you got to the end of the first episode, that would hook you at least a little bit. And then once you get to the end of episode 3, 4, whatever, where another big inciting incident thing happens, then you'll be fully in.
I do like short seasons. I like 10 episode seasons, or 12. Those are nice. And
what these are.
Yeah, I don't like. That was why I stopped watching like the DC stuff on the CW. I really enjoyed it, but it was really hard to keep up with 5 shows a week. They were all 45 minutes to an hour, and there was like 22 of them, a season. It was like, it's like, I'm not dedicating my life to watching these.
You gotta hit that sweet spot though. You gotta hit like, I think 10 episodes minimum, maybe 8 if you've got really, really good writers. But also you have to have your writers understand the show you're making and understand how to construct a whole season.
Yeah.
Because regardless of how many episodes you want or have, sometimes they're just like, oh, we're putting way too much, so it all feels super rushed, or like, oh, we don't have enough, so it feels stretched, even though it's like, short. So you still have to have really good writers.
Well, and that was like the thing.
And pay them.
Right, yeah, exactly. That was like the thing with the DC shows. I really liked like The Flash and Arrow, but you'd have 4 or 5 really good episodes that were kind of tied together.
And then 5 that are crap.
Well, then there was like a filler episode that was like, it had nothing to do with anything. It was just like, it's a little side story thing.
Because they're old style TV.
But that's the way it is for like the CW. That's funny because it made me think of, there's another show that, like, it was on Netflix, and I was watching. I'm like, man, this format looks familiar. Yep, it was originally on the CW. Just like the way it's like set up.
Yeah, any network TV stuff's like that because you have to have like 22 episodes. Nah. They don't do. At least it's not like it was. We've been watching the Drew Carey Show. By the time we got to season 3, those were 28 episode seasons. It was like, holy crap. Well, and a half hour sitcom episode, they're only like 20 minutes, so it's really not that big a deal. But if it was like an hour show, it was like, holy fright, 28 episodes of
a lot of Star Trek series would get up to like 26 episodes.
Here's a show question. I know John's probably excited about Disney confirmed we're getting more Daredevil, right?
Yeah, they're getting it at some point.
But did they confirm anything else? Like Punisher, or are they gonna start?
I read there was gonna be a Punisher.
Punisher.
They said they were going to do Punisher.
I don't know
that
they've officially said a Punisher
and then they took Iron Fist and they shoved Iron Fist underneath the rug. They're like,
well, all they've said was Punisher and Jessica Jones, but yeah. That's I all mean, I've heard so
if
far.
If it was Daredevil, I mean, I think those three, although Jessica Jones is probably as popular as Luke Cage.
Yeah, I'm tentatively excited about Daredevil, but only to a small degree because of one big thing. They do not have the same quality of a stunt team as the original show had.
I think about that.
And also it's on Disney Plus. And like so far most of the stuff on Disney Plus is only gonna go like so dark.
Yeah, yeah. You know what actually is surprisingly good for Marvel shows on Disney Plus is What If. John, did you watch What If?
What If sucks.
I liked it. I like the storyline.
I couldn't
get through the first episode because the animation is trash. Oh, yeah. And I'm an animation snob, so that's, take that with a grain of salt.
That was the same thing with me. That was the same thing with me. The animation put me off and I couldn't watch it. Yeah.
It made me angry because this is Marvel and Disney who has plenty of money and it looks like they cheaped out and did it for as cheap as they possibly could. And maybe it's just something to do with
that. And that's what bugged me about Rebels too. Because I know both of you guys like Star Wars Rebels, but I couldn't get into the
Rebels is the first season of Rebels is a bajillion times better than What If.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But see, I like
Clone Wars, right? But I couldn't get into the animation style of Rebels. I think it's something that looks to me more like
Rebels isn't even that far off from like early to mid Clone Wars. They're very similar.
I thought it looked the same to me.
It's not as good as the final season of Clone Wars that came out like a decade later and they spent a whole ton of money on it. It's not that, but
now Resistance, that Star Wars Resistance show, I didn't like the animation of it. I watched it, but I didn't like the animation.
I like Bad Batch, and I liked
And that's
what was the anime one with the shorts, really short Visions. Visions. I like that. Visions. That was really interesting.
Yeah, those are cool.
Visions is cool because it's just like here, have a sample platter of a bunch of different things, a bite-sized piece,
right? You know, 5-7 minutes. I'm like, I'm a famous anime director. This is cool.
Yeah.
So there's another like Star Wars short series coming too, right?
I'm sure there's a ton of Star Wars.
Well, Ahsoka will be out next month.
Yeah, and I know you guys have told me to keep trying Rebels, so I will give it another try. Can I just skip the first season?
Dude, I am re-watching Rebels. It's so good.
Just give me a synopsis of the first season.
I don't know if I would skip the first season or not. I can't remember. I mean, I've watched it three times.
I would not skip the end of the first season for sure.
Yeah.
The last like two or three episodes.
I'm using a watch guide for Clone Wars too. I think I'm like halfway through following this like watch guide. It's interesting, but I get bored. I watch a couple of
Clone Wars. Anything like
Clone Wars is like after season. It's like season one and two is like there's some good ones in there, but there's not as much great stuff. And then once you get season like three and four and five, it's really good. Then
I will make another effort to watch Rebels. Oh, Tales of the Jedi. That's the other one I was thinking about.
Tales of the Jedi is great.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little six season. Oh, that's kind of interesting. I like six episodes, nice and short.
That one's really good. I watched that. Yeah, I like that.
And I think that's also like Dave Filoni and stuff, so it's the same team that did Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff.
What I like about Rebels and Clone Wars is that's what I put on when I'm eating dinner.
Okay. Just, so you can watch it, like pay attention, but you don't have to like really.
Right, yeah. I don't have to be intense watching it. So, and I need
a few episodes where they get you, you're like, ooh.
Yeah,
there's what's going on.
You know, and I always think of it like the stuff they sell like at Disney World at the Disney parks. Like I bought a Jedi and a Sith holocron, and if you turn them on and you set them on top of each other,
they do stuff.
They talk, and
they talk to each other.
It talks, and it's the dude from Rebels, the big monster dude who wasn't light side and wasn't dark side. You know who I'm talking about, Nathaniel.
I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. So, and I'm thinking
I forget his name because it's been a while since I've seen those episodes.
I can't remember his name either. But it's funny. It's like if somebody got these two things and put them together and didn't watch Rebels and know what that was, it was like you'd be like, what is this? I don't know what this is. It's like stuff like that. It's like,
speaking of Rebels, have you guys seen the Hasbro campaign for the ghost from Rebels? It's like this huge thing. Have you seen video of it on the floor at Comic-Con?
Yeah, it's humongous.
I was watching the Adam Savage Tested channels interviewing the guys, and they're showing like B-roll of this thing. It's huge. Yeah. You can like take off the thing, and like the figures are, it's like scaled to the figures, so you can put them in the ship. They fit through the doors and all this
stuff. Yeah, it's 3/4 or 3/4 scale figures. It's I forget how wide it's the biggest one they've ever made, though.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I saw that. It's like
$500. Oh, $500. Yeah, nope. But it's cool to look at online. Mm-hmm.
You know, they made a Razor Crest that was like that too a couple years ago.
Yeah, but not as big.
Not as big, and it's like, man, it's what would you? I did the HasLab for the His Tank for G.I. Joe, which is 6-inch scale. I also did the HasLab this year for G.I. Joe, which was the Dragonfly helicopter. Cool. It's 3 foot long. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. It's a helicopter that is 3 foot
long. How heavy is it?
I don't know. Don't have a clue.
Hang it from the ceiling?
Don't know. I won't know until it gets here next summer. I won't know.
But you didn't know how big it was. You're like, all right.
Oh, no. I knew how big it was, I just went, I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I've got to have it.
That's a future John problem.
Yeah, that's a future John problem. I'm not worried about it today. I've got a whole year to worry about what I'm going to do with it. Nikki was like, are you really going to get that? I'm like, yeah, I am. Because I remember getting the Dragonfly when I was a kid for the 3/4 scales. And when I saw it in 6-inch scale, I went, I have to have that. It's just like, what are you going to do with that? I go, I don't know, but I have to have it. So, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But yeah, it's like 2.5-3 foot long. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. And that ghost ship is the same length as that. So it's like, if somebody collected all those things, the big Razor Crest, that thing, the Jabba's Palace, the sail barge, they did a sail barge that was like that for the 3/4.
I mean, they need to do one that size for like the Millennium Falcon and stuff too, just some of the classic ships.
Yeah, that would be cool. But it's like,
and while they're at it, get licenses and do like a bunch of like Star Trek ships and stuff too. Like all of them would be cool.
Yeah, where would you, if you were somebody that collected all those things, where would you put those things at? What would you do with
them? You'd make
a museum of ship Star Wars toys.
Of course, I say that. And I'm like, I've got a 6-inch scale His Tank that's like 2 feet tall, and then I've got a helicopter coming that's 3 foot long. What am I going to do with any of them? So it's like,
just put them on your roof like a Christmas decoration or something.
I don't know. I'm excited, but at the same time, it's like, holy crap, what am I thinking?
Couldn't tell you, John.
I don't know. But anyway, you've been playing Jedi Survivor too, right?
Yes, I have.
You're probably farther along in it than I am, because I was about 15 hours in when my ally had to go back. So
definitely further than you then.
Yeah. So
because I put a lot of time into it, because I'm like, I want to get as far as I can before the Expanse comes out, and then the Expanse is short, and then I played some more, and I'm like, I want to get as much through, maybe finish before Baldur's Gate comes out. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, Baldur's Gate's what, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I plan to spend a little bit of time this weekend on it, and then kind of get ready for when the game comes out.
Yeah.
Jedi Survivor, I don't know, maybe 30 hours in, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Equal parts, kind of going through the story and then wandering off and doing whatever. So I've been kind of, depending on my mood, tonight I'm just going to wander around and see what kind of random collectibles I can find. Yeah. Like, I want to do the story tonight, so I'm going to mainline that.
Yeah, that's what's nice about that game, is you can really kind of do whatever.
Yeah, they've patched it a bunch on PC, so that I was like, all right, I'll finally start playing it. And it runs pretty well most of them.
Yeah, I'll agree.
There's
with that
weird
the
bugs
time.
In there that, like, why does this exist? Like, when you click on the galaxy map, it goes down to like 5 frames a second. I'm like, it's the galaxy map on your ship. You're choosing a planet. It's a glorified menu. Why is this chugging the frame rate?
My favorite thing that game does, not only that, my favorite thing that game does is when you're running or falling or something like that, and your hair goes, it sticks straight up. It doesn't flow. It sticks straight up like Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
It doesn't do that.
But it does
either. Either it only does it for whatever specific hairstyle you did, or they patched it since. Because it moves, but it looks like the wind and stuff is pulling it. Like,
see, the last time I played it, it didn't do. It was just I just have the basic starter hairstyle, and if you would fall or slide down something, it would just go. It was like a roof flap on a NASCAR. It would just flap up like to keep him down, but it would be like in little spikes. It was the weirdest thing. So
that is one of the things on this one that, like, they got rid of the paint jobs for your ship, but they added so many other customization things and kept, you know, the lightsaber stuff too that was in the previous game.
Yeah.
But you can do like BD1 paints, you can do lightsaber parts and materials. You get so many different outfits for Cal and different like hairstyle for both just hair and facial hair.
Yeah.
And it's good. I've got kind of a weird punk vibe. Well, I don't know if punk's the right word, but my Cal has like a full beard and a mohawk.
Oh, okay. You didn't go the mullet route that a lot of people have been
I
going.
didn't find the mullet until I was watching a Let's Play. I was like, oh, I totally just didn't go there. Whoops. And then I went and got it. And I'm like, I don't want a mullet. Mullet's dumb.
Everybody was dumb.
I want to be like a space biker or something. I just don't have an outfit that looks like a space biker necessarily,
Yeah,
but.
they were. Everybody was making him look like what's his name from The Office, his buddy with the handlebar mustache and the mullet. That he was his neighbor at in the apartment complex,
Oh, that's not the office.
or
You're
not the
talking about
office,
office space.
Office Space. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. It was Office Space. But yeah, everybody was
I need to
making him look like
find
a
I need to
mullet.
get that facial hair because I don't have that one.
Yeah.
I have like a dumb I have a couple versions of dumb goatees and like normal ones, so I'm just like I've got the full beard because it looks good. The hair in the game looks good, so I'm like, I'll do a full beard
Yeah.
because I don't know, why not? And then I had kind of like the default outfit for a while, and then I've got, I forget what it's called, but it looks really cool. There's a ton of good outfits. It's just if you want to like theme your character to stuff, you can do that for sure. And then even each one kind of, once you unlock it, you have to find it kind of twice, and you get colors unlocked for it when you find it the second time for the
Yeah, I
like
really hadn't
materials.
messed with a whole lot of the cosmetic stuff. I've unlocked a lot of it, but and I kind of went through and looked at it, but then I just left him as a default. So,
Default is dumb, John. Default is
yeah,
dumb.
default's like my action figure of him. So, you know, it's like,
Yeah, but your action figure is dumb because it doesn't have like cool hairstyles and stuff. I don't know.
I
I
know.
just like it because I'm like, no, nah, I'm not gonna have him be the boring one that everyone else has. I'm gonna have him be my cool Cal, and he's gonna
Yeah.
be running around the galaxy with a cool beard and a mohawk. Because why wouldn't you? And now that I've been playing it that long, I'm like, you know what? We need a Star Wars movie, like official character with a mohawk,
That can
like a
happen.
main character movie. Because why not?
Sure.
Let's do it.
I mean, it can happen. They got new movies and stuff coming out. It can happen.
Yeah. I mean, this game is awesome. Like, the first
Yeah.
one was really good, and this one's like better in every category other than performance, where it's just kind of rough out of the gate. And then
Yeah.
at this point, it's pretty good for most platforms. It's every once in a while you'll still run into some stuff where it slows down, or like a couple of weird like bugs for kind of like physics a couple times, but most of the time it's fine.
Yeah.
Like 99% of the time, it's fine, at least for me on my system.
Yeah,
So that's good.
I've never had any problems with it on PC. I mean, it would run, frame rate was always high, it ran real good, so
Not for me. My frame rate's high most of the time, and then it has a few parts where it's just like, oh, that area needs some attention.
oh, see,
Something weird happened.
I hadn't noticed.
It's only happened a couple times out, but like the one specific one that I know everybody has seen is the stupid galaxy map. I'm like, but
Yeah.
why? Why is that even a thing in the first place? And then two, why haven't you fixed it by now? Because it's been, plenty of time. Surely somebody's told you about it.
Oh yeah, I
Maybe it's
mean,
just difficult to fix because it's something weird.
maybe, who knows? Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing, and it really drags it down when you play it on the Steam
Yeah.
Deck or the Ally. But you know, I mean, even on the Ally, I can only get it maybe steady 30 frames,
Yeah.
45 most of the time. But you know, on PC, I on the desktop side, usually it's flawless. You know,
Yeah, I
except
mean,
for the
it has a
map.
big variance, so it's like depending on what map or something I'm on, it might be running like 60, 70, and some other places it'll be running like 100 or more,
Right,
so
yeah. But
just
once you
depends on what
get,
area I'm
for
in.
me, once I get above 50 frames a second, I can never tell a lot, you know, unless it drops below 30 or something, you know, usually I don't even notice it. So that's always a
Yeah.
good thing. So
Well, I mean, I've got a nice variable refresh monitor,
yeah,
so
I do too. So
that helps
that helps.
it.
I don't even pay. And
That does it for sure.
that's what I like about playing it on the Ally over the Steam Deck is, you know, it's a variable refresh rate
Yeah.
screen too, so you don't notice it as much. On, you know, like you do on the Steam Deck. And that's why it's kind of been hard for me that's what I've been in the mood to play, and it's been hard for me to go back and play it on the Steam Deck. It's like, well, I'll just wait till
Yeah.
my ally gets here. Well, I'll just wait till my ally gets here. When's my ally ever gonna get here? So like I said, the last episode, I'd almost just decided I'm going to go buy another one and just.
That's what you get for using SD cards.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like not even. And yeah, but that's the bad thing is I haven't even really been using the SD cards. They've been in there and they've had games loaded on them, but I never played any things off of them. You know,
the crazy
they were just
thing
there.
Is you're probably not the only guy. It's probably a flaw in the design, honestly.
Oh, it's 30. There's 3% fail rate with those things. I mean,
you said 3%, not 30, right?
No, I said 30.
He said 30.
30?
I said 30.
Yeah. Like, holy cow.
Yeah, there's 30% of those that launched that
I mean,
with SD cards.
You put the SD card in the toaster part of the board where it just turns up and just
fine. It's and they put it if they
the SD card going in the toaster.
If they'd have put it on the other side where the GPU and the CPU wasn't, you know, that they put it all on the same side, so it runs about 15 degrees hotter out of the left side than it does the right side, and that side's the side you put the SD card on. It's like, I know a lot of people didn't like it that it was on the bottom of the Steam Deck. Put it on the bottom. There's nothing down there. You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
But we'll see what they did to mine. I heard they've just been swapping motherboards out is what they've done to repair them. Just swap the motherboard out. So.
I mean, it might be all they can do because if the thing is on the motherboard, you have to do the whole board. You can't just do a card reader
which
in there.
Makes me wonder if there's like a newer motherboard where things run a little cooler. I don't know. We'll find out because as soon as it comes in, this hard drive's going back in and we're loading Jedi Survivor back up and I'm, you know, that's what I'm going to finish playing. So we're going to cook it again.
Yeah. All the improvements that they did in this game, there's one that they didn't do that I wish they did. It's having the option for two different colored lightsaber blades.
Yeah.
Because you can split and go into dual stance so that you're like dual wielding it. And it's like, but what if I want to have like a blue and a green or like, I don't know, purple and orange or whatever color combination. And you can't do that. It's all just one color.
It's
no
matter
what.
Color. Yeah.
But like, it's gotta be two crystals. Cause if you split it in half and you still have a blade over here, it's running off of something.
Well, Nathaniel, the way the lore goes, that they don't have
I don't even care about the lore, really. Like, whatever. Go to Clone Wars. Ahsoka had blue and green so many times.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. No, I agree with you. I wish you could have, you know, two different color, you know, because that's why I prefer the dual blade more so than the single or the...
So I've got all five stances now, and the two that you get later, I was like, oh, that's neat. Nope.
Yeah.
Although I might go back because you get the Kylo Ren like cross blade whatever thing. It's basically like a heavy, so it's a lot slower attacks, but you do more damage. I'm like, no. Speed.
Yeah.
Speed is where it's at. So I'm doing like dual blade and dual wield so that I can like run around, do all the spins and stuff. Especially once I unlock the move for the dual bladed one where to close on an enemy from a distance, you hit a button combination, you like dive at them and spin in the air like a propeller blade. It's great.
Yeah. And that's the two stances that I use all the time. I got the Kylo Ren one too. And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. Used it once and went, meh. I'd rather be fast than, you know, than to be slow with my long sword and just beat people. So.
Well, there's also a reason to keep the double-bladed one on all the time is that if you reflect things back with it and hold the button down, you reflect every single bolt back at somebody. Yeah. So there's no guys at the Gatling guns or just like a bunch of guys shooting you at once. You can take a bunch of people out with that if you're doing it. None of the other stances do that. So that's why I keep that one on for any time where it's like, hey, we're going to sneak a bunch of ranged guys up here on these ledges. And like, good on them. They're dead now.
Crowd control.
Plus they're fun because both of those are much more acrobatic looking than some of the other ones. There's also the blaster one that looks almost like a rapier from the moves, but you also have a blaster that you can shoot people with. I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but nah.
Yeah, that's I was same. It's like, yeah, it's all right, it's fine, but
not for me. I'm you know, it's fine. I'm just like, no, I like flipping and jumping around with this, so that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, and I mean, at least this time they give you more options than they did last time. You know, you got more stance, so you know, more people who like that, good for them. Yeah. Not me.
I mean, yeah, it's cool. Like, it's having the choices like that is good, so that, like, you can play how you want to.
Right, exactly.
Excuse me.
All right. So anything else to add there before we send it off to?
Oh, I was just going to go into it a little bit more.
Oh,
just
okay.
I like the way that you have kind of like the big map mm-hmm. that is your kind of like hub world or whatever. And then you go away from it and then you come back and now that you have more abilities, you can go down a few different pathways and that kind of stuff. That's really good about unlocking things at a decent pace, unless you're just off wandering on your own and don't do anything, because most of the stuff is unlocked during kind of like main mission type stuff. Mm-hmm. I like Grease's Cantina because it's really cool that you have different characters will go in there and then you get different conversations with them every time you go back. So it's just a cool, interesting space that changes every time you go back there.
And it's cool just to walk around in there and look at things. There's just so much stuff to look
at. It's also fun once you find the people out on the map that are the DJ, basically, the robot DJ. So you actually have like Cantina music playing, but it's all more kind of like electronic and type stuff versus like a Cantina band that you think of from like the original Star Wars.
Right.
It's not like the jazzy stuff. It's more like kind of like, well, if you think back to Fallen Order, the song at the very beginning of the game that Cal's listening to, not quite the same as that, but more like that than it would be.
Yeah. It's, if you've ever been to Galaxy's Edge, it's like the droid in the Cantina that plays that. If you want to know what I'm talking about, look up Galaxy's Edge DJ music and it's really cool stuff.
Way into that and more nerdy about all those music tracks and know more of them, I'm sure some of these have existed elsewhere. I doubt they were all for the game.
I don't know. None of them sounded familiar.
I wouldn't know either way.
What's funny is that song at the beginning of the original game, the first Fallen Order game, that's actually like the hue. That's not even like and I didn't realize that until I started listening to them.
Well,
like,
they wrote that for the game.
Yeah, they wrote that for the game. Yeah. It was like, oh, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. That's it's like, oh, I know where I've heard that before.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, it's, but if you like that kind of music, look it up on, I think it's on YouTube, may even be on like Spotify or something like that. They may actually have the DJ mix that they play at Galaxy's Edge in the Cantina. Maybe. It's pretty good. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, like the first game, one of the things that this game does the best is the characters. They just look prettier now because they up the graphics a lot in this game, for sure. And I like Grease, his look in this game versus the first one, because he has like the long braids and he's got kind of like the like Space Miami button-up shirt.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's just like...
I'm retired. I'm retired, so I'm going to just put on my, my lounging pants and shirt and sit by the...
I also like, I love the robot that's the bartender.
Yeah.
Because he's like robot 1920s bartender almost, but he just happens... I don't know why he has a jar next to his head, because he also has the head that swivels around, but then he just has a jar of water up there, but there's not like a fish or anything in it, or it's just okay. Yeah, weird design. It looks cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, there's all sorts of fun little side things that pop up and that unlock through the game. You can plant things on the roof of that thing. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing.
Yep, that's cool. Yeah, when my ally gets back, that's what I'm going to boot up, because I really want to finish that game. I wanted to finish it a couple weeks ago and just...
I really need to start it.
Oh, did you buy it? I didn't even know you bought it.
I have it on PS5. I've had it for a while.
But yeah.
Lots of other distractions. Yeah,
you need to play it. So what else have... What have you been playing then?
Barely anything. I've just been busy with lots of other stuff. But I've been playing... I played Demon's Tilt. I don't know if you guys own that. It's pretty cool. Like... I don't know. It's pinball meets like a shmup. It's really interesting because, I think Special Reserve or Strictly Limited put out, or maybe Limited Run Games put out a physical one, but it's a pinball game, but you're also like interacting with the table and like shooting down stuff and like hitting like monsters and bosses. It's very fun. I really enjoyed it. I was bored. I own it, so I decided to play it for a little bit. I've dabbled a little bit more in Double Dragon Gaiden. I said same thoughts last time. And I won a code for Risky Woods on Xbox, on Twitter. That is an interesting game. I guess it's okay.
Ringing endorsement.
Well, I feel like I'm playing something on the Genesis, and it feels like maybe Golden Axe ish, kind of with a little bit bigger sprites.
Interesting. Yeah.
I might play a little bit more. I don't think it's very much. I don't know if you're a fan of that sort of like 2D platformer that could be challenging. Maybe recommend checking it out.
I've seen pictures of it, but I didn't know what it was. It's like, okay, that sounds familiar.
And I think it's...
It was on the Genesis. That's why.
It was
why.
On the Genesis. Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking about. I think it was pretty challenging. So it's like, I would say it's like a remake for the Xbox. So,
probably.
Like they took the company, took it, and then they just modernized it. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, I think this was this like an EA game? I've got to look at it.
Yep. It's made by EA.
I was going to say, because it was one of the big cartridges. That's what sticks out in my brain. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, you know why? Because I have this game on the Genesis.
Why does it not surprise me?
After I looked at the... I had to look at the box art. Yeah, I got this. I have this game. I have it complete in box. And
the only other interesting thing I did recently is I had an extra copy of Cowabunga Collection on Switch from a deal at Target. I just hung on to the extra one. I traded it to a guy locally for Truxton on Genesis. Have you heard of that, John?
No, yeah, Truxton's awesome.
It wasn't complete. He had cart and like kind of the box. Box has a lot of damage to it. But,
it's the only game that I really want that I still don't have of Genesis games is Truxton. Truxton's cool. It's a good shoot 'em up. I love it.
He has another copy. I can ask him if he ever wants to get rid of it. He kind of hinted that he might want to get rid of the complete copy. It's somebody who I've done a lot of business.
It's expensive, the complete copy is.
I don't know. For the Cowabunga Collection was $30 on sale, so I think I got a decent deal getting Truxton.
Truxton, let's see, last time I looked at it, if it's a complete copy... I have to look it up because it's been a while since I've looked at the prices of them, but I want to say it was over $100.
I pretty much give it up trying to complete my copy of Streets of Rage 3. I'm never going to be able to find a case and manual for that or the Punisher.
Oh, I have a case.
I'm going to have to buy a complete copy for Streets of Rage 3. And the Punisher?
Good luck with that.
I'll stick with my card only copy because the case and manual for that is like
let's see.
Expensive.
Truxton case. The card is 61. The complete's like $150.
Ooh.
So yeah, it's a lot.
Okay, card's good enough for me.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't. I've never bought the game complete because it was so expensive. It's like the shoot 'em up on the Genesis that everybody wants. And I don't know if you ever watched. He used to be on YouTube. It was like Video Game Quarterly or something like that. What was the name of that? That was like, he compared every game to Truxton. It was like, is it Truxton? No. Is it a good game? Yes. You know, it's like,
it
Truxton was his favorite game. I mean, it's an awesome shoot 'em up, and I love it. And I think I have a reproduction.
I think I have it on the EverDrive, probably, and I've probably booted up, but it'll be cool to have the card only.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I just looked at the Punisher case with the manual and the tattoo. It's $400.
Oh yeah, it's
holy crap.
I mean, I've got the cart.
So glad I got the cart like years ago. I think I got it in a trade. I think it was in a lot. I have to go look it up. I don't think I paid more than like $40 for it.
I have to look. I think I've got all. I think the only thing I'm missing with Streets of Rage 3 is the instruction book. I've got the case and the. I got the case, but I don't have the instructions.
Yeah, somebody offered me a complete copy for $150, and I'm like, well, maybe.
I don't know. I'm out of that game.
If it's something I really want, okay. But for the most part, I'm not gonna spend that.
Yeah, and I've got most of what I really want. Like I said, Truxton would be the only one that would be enticing enough for me to go. Well, maybe I might.
Well, maybe.
But you know, it'd have to be a screaming deal for me to.
I haven't been playing. hopefully I can play some more stuff.
Yeah, once my ally gets here, I'll be back to rolling. So, of course, I gotta install everything back on it again. Luckily, I didn't have a lot installed on it, so yeah, it's no big deal. But, all right. Well, there really isn't a whole lot of news to talk about this week, other than if you're a Final Fantasy 14 fan, a Fan Fest was going on this weekend, and out of the blue, Phil Spencer walked on stage and said, hey, we're bringing Final Fantasy 14 to Xbox and some more Final Fantasy games when possible. So
Did he say Final Fantasy or Square games?
Well, he said Square. They said Final Fantasy games is what they said. So, you know, read into it how you want. Okay. You know, the funny thing is most of the rumors around for the past 6 months has been Sony is going to buy Square. So it's just really weird to see Xbox or see Phil Spencer come out on stage at a Square event and say that they're working very closely with Square to bring more Final Fantasy games to the Xbox. And then, you know, you hear this on the other side. It's like, is the rumors really true? Is it just this and that?
Who knows? Mean, there's been a rumor for Sony buying Square for forever, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But yeah,
as
so
as far as like Square Enix is concerned, yeah, put them on the Xbox, you'll make money. Cool. Like, well, why didn't you do this forever ago? It seems silly to me.
I think
something like Final Fantasy 14, that like a subscription thing or something, well, get people in there.
The one thing, the Final Fantasy 14 was supposed to come out on the 360, you know, back in the day. The problem was Microsoft had that all set up where they didn't want cross play between PlayStation 3. It was just PC and 360, and Square didn't want that. They wanted it available to everybody. So, you know, since now that Microsoft has kind of, you know, went more of the, hey, we want to play, you know, we let anybody play with anybody, it kind of opened things
back up. It's weird. When they were on top with the 360, they didn't want to share.
Yeah, I know. They didn't want to share.
Now what?
They're like, all right, we'll
but
share.
I think a lot of it has to do with the new CEO of Square. I think that has a lot to do with why things weren't on the Xbox. Sony would come in and offer them a big bunch of money to keep things, you know, exclusive for so long with them, and then they would renew those contracts. And I think the new CEO,
that seems really, really dumb to me, because like, does Sony have enough money to make up the amount that, like, say if they put out Final Fantasy 16 that just came out, and if it was also available on Xbox day one, how many more copies would they sell?
Yeah, I mean, even if they would sell, you know, I forget how many.
It seems like for something like Final Fantasy that's like that big of a franchise, you figure they would sell plenty if you just have it on a platform, right?
I mean, even if it was 500,000 units, I mean, that's 500,000 more units, you know. And is Sony paying that much more, you know? I don't know.
Or even if it's like an exclusive window of like a year or whatever, then put them out immediately, just to keep working on it so that when you can put it out. But they haven't done that, so it's just kind of weird.
It is weird. And you know, the funny thing is there's a lot of that stuff that came out during the hearings for the Activision Blizzard stuff. And if you're one of those people that want to read through all that, you could see instances where they have said Sony paid this publisher and that publisher to keep things off of Xbox, but they never said how much. You know, how much was it? So that's what I want to know. It's like, is it really enough to keep to not make, you know, make enough money that, you know, I know a lot of those games don't sell tremendously well on Xbox because it's a smaller user base. It's, you know, and, you know, PlayStation.
It's not even that much of a smaller user base either. I think it's just that, like, they have bad data. Yeah. You can't know how much it would sell there unless you, like, have multiple times where it's just there.
Right.
Instead of just like, oh, hey, here's this old thing that we are putting on here that no one's really interested anymore. That's like, that's not going to give you the same, you know, data back that says like, hey, people are interested or not. You just don't know. Because like, hey, this thing that's old, are people going to care about it, whatever platform it's on or not? Like, you don't know that. But if it's like Final Fantasy 16 comes out and it's on PlayStation and Xbox, and then you can see how much it sells on both platforms, that's a much more even kind of look at it, right?
Right.
And we haven't had that with Square Enix for a long time.
Right, yeah. Well,
even
for
the stuff from the American side that they got rid of, those studios, so like Tomb Raider and all those, that was almost the opposite, where they're like, we'll put this on Xbox first and then put it on PlayStation.
Right,
later.
They
just never had it one thing where it's just like, here, it's coming out everywhere all at once. We want to have our deals, I guess. Maybe that's just what Square Enix likes to do.
Maybe, yeah. And when you're talking to Japanese companies, you know, there may be something to that. I don't know. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, as far as that with Sony goes, sure.
Yeah. But, you know, what was I going to say? You were talking about Oh, shoot, I can't remember now. I lost it.
Bad data, John. Bad
yeah.
data.
Well, you were... I can't remember what it was I was going to say now. But anyway, yeah, I mean, well, it's like with the PlayStation 5, the sales of those numbers came out, and I think there's like 40 million consoles of that sold, which it's on par to outpace PlayStation 5 at this point at the same, you know, time of release. But, you know, at the same time, there's the software sales are not that high. So it's like, you know, okay, they sold 1 million copies of this game, but you got 40 million units out there. So what are people playing? You know, they're playing other games, you know? So it's like, just because Square thinks, oh, well, we'll take the money to keep Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy XVI off Xbox. You know, we'll make more money this way. How do you know that? You know, I mean, you don't know, because, you know, okay, maybe you might sell half as many as you do on the Xbox as you do on the PlayStation, but still, is Sony paying you that much more money that it covers that cost? Who knows? I don't know. It's a weird thing, and at some point...
And maybe it's not all about money, too. Maybe there's some other stuff built into that that, you know, they get access to some tech or...
Could be.
Some, you know, resources, or just like, we're building a relationship with you and keeping that going, or whatever it may be. Who
well,
knows?
and that's what a lot of, you know, some people think, too. It's like, well, Sony puts ponies up some money to help produce a game. Well, that's true, too. But how many times has Microsoft ponied up to produce a game and kept it maybe 3 months, 6 months on a... Or sometimes it releases just day one on Game Pass and everywhere else at the same time. You know, and that's Microsoft money. You know, they don't care. It's like, it makes them money. I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's getting to be an archaic way of thinking. You know, and maybe one company's thinking ahead and another company's just going on like they always do. So, and that's fine.
You said the words Game Pass, and I suddenly thought of the other news of they're getting rid of Xbox Live Gold, whatever, and just sort of renaming it, basically, but there's not going to be games with gold anymore. It's going to be kind of like, here's it's like 25
yeah, it's 25 curated games that rotate out every month or 2 months.
It
or
makes
like
me
that.
Sad, because I wonder if that means that we can't do the upgrade from Gold to Game Pass up. Price exploit.
I don't think you can anymore. I don't think that'll be a thing anymore. So, all I got
doesn't matter. I still have another like year plus on it, so I'll find out then.
Yeah, I've still got another. I think 2 years or something like that. I don't remember how long I have. I know it added 3 more months to it because when I got the Ally, there was a thing to update it. I'd have to look. I can look here and tell you exactly when it expires, because I can pull up the Game Pass app and it will tell me.
It will tell you.
Because I'm kind of curious, because it's like, well, if, yeah, with the price change and stuff, because they've changed the price July 10th of 2025. So I've still got 2 years left.
You got lots of time. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Game Pass is just the same as like the Sony PlayStation Plus nonsense now. They're both pretty similar, just how many tiers that they have.
Yep.
And it's not necessarily the same for what each tier offers, but you have to look at like, oh, do I want this tier or that tier or that tier? And then I think that sometime we're supposed to have like family stuff with Xbox.
Well, that's the rumor.
Well, potentially. So like that would be another one if it happens.
Apparently
like,
they beta tested that and then it's went out of beta, and I think they're just doing like analysis right now. Nobody said if they're so with them not rolling right into it, I'm guessing maybe it might not be as popular or as success as they were hoping it would be.
I don't know. That's the case. I think they're just gonna look at it and be like, does this make sense to complicate our ecosystem by adding this as on the offering versus how much money we think we'll make from it?
Yeah, that's true too. I don't know. Yeah, but that's the one thing with the Xbox Live. Well, what's taking the place of Xbox Live? You could still buy a year of that for $60 regardless.
It's just mostly a name change, and then Games with Gold is going to be a collection of stuff versus free games every month.
Which that's fine.
Gold have been terrible for years anyway. Yeah. Like there's every once in a while maybe one thing that you're like, oh, that's kind of cool, but most of them are like, I haven't even heard of this game.
Yeah, and it kind of got to the point where they were running dry on, unless they were doing brand new games out the gate, it was like you're not going to get a decent game on the Games for Gold to make it worthwhile anyway. So
yeah, I mean, if you're gonna call it a Game Pass bottom tier. I forget what it's called, but yeah, if you're called that anyway, called. Might as well have just like, okay, here's a taste of all this stuff. But it's also like, if you just want the next tier up of Game Pass, it's like $1 more a month or something yeah, like that. Mm-hmm, so just might exactly. as well do full Game Pass at that point.
Right. Yeah. And you'll get, you know, and you'll get,
then you get all the games.
You'll get all the games. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the only thing is I guess if you do the $1 or more a month, you don't get the online because that's not Ultimate. So you'd have to go for Ultimate to get online and Game Pass. Game Pass itself doesn't come with online with gold. So
then, like, that's dumb. They should just change that to where it's in there.
Yeah, yeah, they should. That was,
it's a subscription thing. Like, why wouldn't it be in there? Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, no, it's Ultimate. Ultimate has everything. It has online yeah. and the Game Pass and the PC. If you just that's do Game Pass. Yeah, if you just do Game Pass, that's for games only, that's not online. And this other thing, the base one, is online, but not Game Pass. So
why you gotta make it confusing? Just make it where, like, tier one is this, tier two you get a little bit more, and then tier three you get all the things, instead of, like, this weird mismatch.
Because when parents go to buy things at Christmas time, they don't know what they're buying. That's why they do it.
You don't want that. That's stupid. That doesn't help anyone.
Oh, I know.
Not knowing what they're buying isn't, you know, better or worse for you. It's just making the consumer confused.
I agree, but as someone who worked retail for 20, you know, almost 15, 20 years, to see what these companies have done over those 15 and 20 years, not just Microsoft, but Sony and Nintendo too, they do that crap and confuse the heck out of parents who don't keep up with it. And when Christmas time rolls around, they're like, my kid wants this, 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 and this. And okay, it's going to be this much. Well, why is it going to be this much? He said it was going to be that much. Well, to get this and this, you have to buy that and that. And it's this much. Well, why do I have to do that? Well, because that's the way it is.
And by the way, is the Wii U just an accessory?
That's just a tablet that connects to your Wii, right? Because, you know, that would make sense. Oh my gosh, I will never forget how many people came in the store when that Wii U came out and was like,
poor
I just
John,
need
his
to
brain hurts.
Yeah, it's like, I need a Wii U. Okay, it's $300. Well, why is it so much? It's just an add-on for the Wii, isn't it? No. It's a whole other system, people. Well, I don't understand. Of course you don't.
I mean, at this point, it's pretty much might as well not exist, except for the few games that haven't been ported to Switch.
Yep, that's
true. It's got most of the stuff that was on there has been out on Switch since, so.
Yeah, yep. Now there's all these problems with, like, bits of it starting to fail, too, because of the tech it was made with, too.
Yeah, I mean,
all over if, Twitter. What's that modder, John, starts with the V?
Voltar, yeah.
I saw the NAND. He was talking about that, fixing it and stuff.
Yeah, he has a fix for it that you have to. It's something with a memory chip on the board that will fail if you haven't had it on in so long, or hooked up or plugged in or anything like that. It literally causes the Wii U to not work, you know, so. So you have to, there's a chip that he made that you go in and you put it on the board and it fixes it.
But, he's doing some good work, but at the same time, I'm just like, oh boy.
I haven't had my Wii U on in quite a while. I haven't even had it hooked up. So it's like, you know, I really
you're going
to
turn it on. You're going to be like, why is this taking so long?
Yeah, it's going to be like, oh, I need to go buy that chip. So it's, which is fine. I mean, it's like a $30 chip. It's not.
Buy that or go buy bags of chips.
I do have chips. I do have a bag of chips. We went to Sam's yesterday, and Nikki, they had a bag of popcorn. It was this long. It's humongous. It was $5. Like
three or 4 feet long.
Yes. Yeah. She brought it in there. We were watching TV this afternoon. She brought it in her snack on some. I said, that bag is not a snack bag. You're going to have to put that in a bowl. Because literally, I would set it on the couch. You know how you'd normally hold a bag while you're watching something, you know, if you just want a few. I had to set it on the couch, and it was like up in my face.
Like, see, you're just not thinking right, John. It's a snack bag and a body pillow all at once.
You're about right. It's about the size of a body pillow. You're not wrong. It's like, yeah.
It's just, you know, a little lumpy.
Yeah, a little crunchy, smells like butter, you know. It's
like, hey, that's a benefit.
That could be.
You'll have some good dreams if you nap on that.
Hey, whatever anybody wants in their body pillows, I'm not going to judge. I mean,
John's will be a long thing of usual snack bag like this.
I'm not going to judge on what on body pillows, so whatever. All right, well, it's a kind of a short show, but you know, it's like there wasn't a whole lot of news, and you know, we're trying to keep shows going every 2 weeks because I know Eric's got things going on next month, so we may be a hit or miss next month.
Probably at least one I can make, but I'm gonna be pretty busy. Okay. Traveling a lot.
Yeah, I get that, and we'll see how it goes if we can get Dennis, that's it. That's Dennis guy. Or maybe even, what's that other guy? His name? Herbert? Herbert. No, Robert. Yes. Robert, that's it.
Roberto. What's his name?
Roberto, Jim?
We're not changing it until he gets here to correct it.
That's right.
That's right.
I know you got some things going on next month. We may take a trip the middle of the month. On the weekend, we have to get a dog sitter broke in before November, so it's like, well, maybe we'll just take a weekend and just go up the road and stay somewhere and let them.
You gotta give them some practice, right?
Oh yeah, especially with my nuts. These two dogs are nuttier than a fruitcake, so it's like, yeah, you need. We need to make sure. Yeah, I don't want to get to Disney World in November and halfway through the babysitter goes, you know what? These guys, she's crazy. I'm out. <It's> like... But yeah, like I always say, follow us on Twitter at @GL_podcast. You'll know when we're planning on recording. If you want to come hang out live, and if not, hey, no big deal. It'll be on the podcatcher whenever we record one. So hopefully we'll be back in 2 weeks. But like I said, we'll see how things go and go from there. We'll let you know.
We'll see what the universe throws at us.
That's pretty much. Right. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for listening and hanging out with us, and we'll catch you all next time.
See you later.
This podcast is part of the Gamers Lounge Radio Network. Get more gaming news and shows at www.the-gamers-lounge.com.